You know, Jason mentioned the first game. It's September 8th. It is good when you actually see it within a month. We're at August 14th. The first official game is against the Buccaneers on September 8th. So we're getting closer and closer to the start of the regular season.
That game actually works out for me because my daughter has a three-day tournament here at the Naval Academy that weekend. Mm. And that Sunday, I think they have a noon game. So we actually play at 4.
Right. They play Tampa at 4.
And I usually hate 4 o'clock games. But that one's going to work out for me nicely.
Yeah, you just made me realize I'll probably be coaching, and I don't know the schedule yet. Well, it'd suck if the schedule was Sunday. I think we typically only play one or two games on Sundays. Most of the games have been on Saturdays, but they sent out a message this week requesting, like, if you have any requests, they're like, we can only honor so many requests, like, for people that have specific dates that they can't coach on. I mean, there's a ton of leagues. And I didn't send any requests, but they said, we can't guarantee that you'll play only on Saturdays or only on Sundays.
Of course, what a nightmare that must be. A scheduling nightmare, of course.
Yeah, because they got a million age groups, a million leagues. That Soccerplex has got 25 fields and they're full all the time.
Hey, Drabby, I see that, you know, I go in there and often Drabby's like, people don't realize, I was talking to Mar about this. Drabby's like a therapist. People call in and he's all in their lives and he's encouraging and, you know, he's talking to people. Is that who you're? Is that this guy right here, Brandon?
No.
That's
no.
a different guy.
This is a different guy. This guy, he's doing like a producer's bit, the stage show. He thinks the Junks would do better with a bad football team than a good football team.
No, trust me. We've been down this road
for 20 years.
We've been doing this for 28 years.
Listen to his theory, yeah.
Yeah. Brandon, what's up? Well, it's Brendan. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So, theory that I thought about the other day. It's actually been beneficial to the show that there's been 150 quarterbacks in the 28 years you guys have been on the radio.
Why? Because of the debates?
Every draft, every training camp, every free agency, we're looking at quarterbacks and we select somebody and we talk about them and everybody tunes in to listen to what you guys think and how he's doing. Training camps are interesting. Preseason's interesting. If Jaden is good and he's around for 15 years, I think that's going to make it so much more boring. Now, it's great.
No, there's always other positions.
You guys will get you'll get postseason. People will, you know, because he'll be in the postseason. Obviously, if he wins Super Bowls, then all bets are off.
Brendan, we've talked about it for years. The guys in New England have had an amazing radio run. Because people think of a stadium.
Won 6 Super Bowls.
I know. Listen.
I know, but they've had the same quarterback.
We win 9 or 10 games every year.
Brendan.
15 years.
Brendan, here's the problem. There is something to be said for when they're so bad and everyone's pissed off and they're burning up the phone lines and they want to fire everybody. And I kind of like some of that too, to be honest with you. But by week 6 or 7, when the season's over and and then, you know, by 8, 9, 10, people get sick of it. They just tune out. They punch out.
They become ambivalent. They don't care.
Right?
So they don't tune in.
It's kind of interesting at the beginning, but it gets old. The losing gets old.
I always say it's like a stadium, right? Our radio listeners, our radio audience is like a full stadium. When is the stadium full? When the team's winning. Once the team starts losing, more and more people stop going to the games. We want people going to the games.
But to defend his take, we've done pretty well.
Sure.
I mean, our numbers have been pretty good, even though the team has sucked.
Well, that's just because we have sick talent.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But people are tuning in to hear us grill the team.
Yeah, but that does get old. And
it gets old for us.
It gets
old for us.
It also gets old for the audience. Like, if they start out 2-6 and they're heading toward 4, trust me, those last 6, 7, 8 weeks are brutal.
I remember last year when we were opening up the phone lines to get their take on the game. And
it's brutal.
It's hard to get calls on a Monday morning
because
if they're 2-6.
People punch out.
Well, dude, when the team is good,
we don't know what that's like.
Stadiums are full.
We kind of know.
And people are into it.
Remember 2012.
I'll
never forget that year.
When the team is not good, you have 30,000 Eagle fans taking over the stadium, and you have less Commanders fans tuning in because they don't care. They've punched out.
Yeah, people punch out. But in 2012, remember how exciting that was with the rookie quarterback? And we lost in the first round of the playoffs. Couldn't win a playoff game.
How about there was buzz during Heineke's run?
There's some moments. There were some moments. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes the next couple of years.
I think I'm actually going to take myself out of the cautiously optimistic mode. I'm very optimistic.
So now you're highly optimistic
about Jaden.
Well, I mean, if Jaden's good, the team's going to be good.
Well, I don't know how good they're going to be, but Jaden is going to be the real deal.
That's our training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. So I mentioned Dan Orlovsky from ESPN, former NFL QB. He came out with 7 traits that he believes are critical for being a top quarterback, and then he rated in each trait his top 10 quarterbacks.
All right, so what are the traits?
So, and I want to speculate where you think Jaden Daniels would fall. Like, Jaden Daniels isn't involved. I don't think he included the rookies because he was looking at statistics and he was looking at film.
Well, what are the based traits?
So I'm going to go through them.
There's rookies in there.
Caleb
Williams. Yeah, Caleb Williams is
there. I didn't notice Caleb. All right, so arm strength is number one.
All right.
And he says he looks at 2 components of having a big arm. There's the obvious one, which he says is being able to launch it really far downfield. And then there's his second one is tight window throws. Mm-hmm. And he mentions that Justin Herbert, since he's been in the league, is number one in tight window completions. He's got 145 of those since being drafted in 2020.
All the elite guys he's going to have in there. Josh Allen, he's going to have Mahomes, I would think.
Yeah, his top 3 said were no-brainers. It's Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's got Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Will Levis.
Right.
Baker Mayfield.
I don't know about Levis. I'm not sold on Levis, but go ahead.
We're going to be sold. This is just arm strength.
He's got a strong arm, but I don't know if he's accurate.
But that's not what. Yeah, this is stronger.
He's got a strong arm though, for sure. If you put him
two prongs,
to it, yeah,
distance and tight windows.
Accuracy, he's not going to be in there. Yeah.
Then he's got Baker Mayfield, Anthony Richardson from the Colts, Dak Prescott, and Lamar Jackson. Would Jaden Daniels crack that top 10? I don't think so, but he threw it 40 yards to De'Ami Brown pretty effortlessly.
I thought it was a rope. I thought it was a nice throw.
I don't think he was known as having the strongest arm, but...
No, but they say by far in camp, it jumps out at you. He's by far got the best arm in our camp with the 4 quarterbacks. But anyway, yeah, I have no idea where he would rank in arm strength. I would think he would be middle of the pack to upper middle of the pack. I don't think he would be top 5.
Okay.
But that would be my guess. Just baseless guess.
Arm strength was the first trait he went through. The second is ball placement.
All right.
So he says there's a difference between accuracy and ball placement. Accuracy is the ability to throw the ball to your guy, while ball placement is keeping it away from the defender.
Okay.
So number one, he's got Joe Burrow.
All right. I'll take his word for it.
2, he's got Tua. Mm-hmm. 3, he's got Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's got Stafford, Stroud, Purdy, Geno Smith, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Josh Allen. I don't know. I mean,
I think he's pretty good in that trait. I think Jaden's pretty good.
So you think Jaden Daniels
can be there? I've just been watching the daily throws into the nets in the, you know what I mean? Well, right. He's pretty good at that.
So hold on. He's saying
Mariota is hitting the crossbar, missing it.
So he's saying ball placement and accuracy are different only because ball placement is...
It's just more precise.
Keeping it away from the defender, which might mean...
But you're still trying to be accurate and hit the guy in the hands.
Who knows? And throwing people open.
That's kind of confusing.
I think he's being a little picky there, but I'm just assuming that it's just more precise than just hitting a guy.
Then he's got mechanics. He's got Joe Burrow, number one in mechanics. I could go through the list, but I think Jaden looks like he's got pretty good mechanics.
Pretty good there. Top 10. I'm just throwing out.
He throws numbers in there. Who is a natural thrower? Who has the best footwork? Who moves well within the pocket and always plays in rhythm?
He aces all that.
I thought...
We haven't seen him play.
I thought on the throw. He aces
I thought
all
on the
that.
Deep ball, it was subtle, but he had pressure coming on his right side.
Yeah.
And he handled it well with his footwork.
No, he's got great footwork. He's got great mechanics. And if also, if you notice that ball he threw to Diami was like on the side, like only Diami was going to catch
it. But these guys in the top 10 on his ranking, are most of them are vets. I mean, there's a couple younger guys.
They're
guys that he's seen play in live action and regular season.
Yeah, I haven't mentioned a rookie yet, but Trab says Caleb is on one of these traits. So the fourth trait, he's got decision making.
I don't know about that one.
It's going to be hard to, project on Jaden Daniels there.
He's got Rodgers 1 on that.
Rodgers 1, Stafford 2, Burrow 3. He's actually got Patrick Mahomes number 7.
How?
He's got C.J. Stroud ahead of Mahomes.
Because Mahomes just makes dicey throws? Because Mahomes is a gambler?
He writes, quarterbacks have to be able to read the defense and recognize what it is trying to get him to do with the ball and what it is trying to keep him from doing the ball. I think it's lack of interceptions. Mahomes' interceptions were up because he mentions Rodgers is the best in the game here. And some of those years, I mean, Rodgers had raticulous touchdowns.
So is it good or bad if you're like a freelancer? Is that bad? Because I would say Mahomes is a bit of a freelancer.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers can be in some ways. I mean, he extends plays.
Yeah. Well, then I don't know. I think he might be being unfair to Mahomes.
You might be right because maybe they are basing it off the pick numbers because I mean, he's got Jordan Love ahead of Mahomes.
Yeah.
And decision making. I mean, come on. Mahomes has won 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah. Jordan Love, couple decisions, threw a couple
Love
picks against
two
San Francisco.
Huge picks in the San Francisco game.
Right.
Pocket presence.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Pocket presence is the fifth trait.
Let me just say this before we get into pocket presence. I don't watch a lot of the ESPN guys. I can't tolerate it. I don't know why, even though it's kind of what we do. When I've seen I saw Orlovsky recently, and he seemed to be tilting everybody, like on set, like the ex-players, like they were almost mocking him when he was coming out with one of his lists a couple weeks ago. I don't know if that's standard, but he was fighting an uphill battle trying to sell his list. And I can't remember what quarterback he didn't have in his top 6 or 7.
I think against the grain sometimes.
Yeah.
Conventional wisdom.
One guy
maybe thinks outside
the
box.
The set, basically.
Yeah.
Who was that?
I don't know. Some D tackle dude. I don't know.
Pocket presence is the fifth trait. He's got Mahomes 1, Burrow 2, CJ Stroud 3, Stafford 4, Lamar Jackson 5.
For pocket presence, I don't know yet. Remains to be seen. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, very limited amount of work. He looked, like I said, I think he looked good. I think that we'll keep going to the one play. It was impressive. But it remains to be seen.
Well, put it this way. Sam Howell be at the bottom of that one.
Well, yes. That's one thing I'm curious about.
Sam,
when it comes down to it, we know he's going to run. But I want to know if he's going to run too soon. Meaning, like, he goes through one progression, then runs, versus goes through all his progressions, then finally runs.
I think he's a pass-first guy.
Yeah.
The next category is where you expect him.
Yeah, he should be in the top 10 here. Rushing ability, Lamar 1, Josh Allen 2. Then it's Richardson, Hurts, Fields. He's got Mahomes 6.
And he doesn't
Why
doesn't he have Daniels there? You know what? He just slept on it.
Think Jaden Daniels would be above Dak Prescott. He's got Joe Burrow 8, Kyler Murray, and Trevor Lawrence.
Because he just hasn't seen
him
top
10.
He hasn't seen him do it yet.
Yeah. He's not ranking him based on college. He's going to be a top 10 runner. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I mean, he's definitely a better runner than Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then his final trait, which he looks for, which he says is central to a quarterback's success, is second reaction ability.
What does that mean?
He goes, these second reaction passes from different arm angles, often on the move, can be the difference between moving the sticks and a stalled drive. They require creativity
that's Rodgers,
at times.
Stafford.
Says Mahomes is the obvious number one
Rodgers
on this list.
Not in there.
Rodgers does a different arm angle.
He does, but he doesn't have him. He's got Mahomes.
Does he have Stafford? Stafford does different arm angles.
He's got Stafford.
He says Rodgers doesn't make the list, but he used to be so good at this.
Yes. He actually puts your boy Gardner Minshew on the list because he says he's one of the best at off-schedule
plays.
And this
is where he's got Caleb in that ranking.
And this one.
Okay, that's the first time I've seen a rookie. Yeah, Caleb Williams comes in at number 6.
But he did that a lot in college, so maybe he's just basing
I think Jaden will be up there in a lot of those categories.
I agree.
I don't know enough about the pocket presence yet. We don't know enough about decision-making. I mean, if the college translates, he'll be great.
Yeah, I mean, 40-4 is pretty good decisions.
Well, not for pocket presence, though. That was a big discussion point about Jaden. The pressure to sack ratio.
Uh-huh.
And also that he bailed out too quickly a lot of times.
Yeah, but he wasn't throwing balls up for grabs.
No, but that's not pocket presence.
Kind of. You feel pressure, not then based you just on
his,
chuck it.
Not based on his definition. Right?
That's pocket presence. You feel the pressure, and then you just chuck it, make a bad throw. Part of it. No?
I think pocket presence is staying in the pocket and stepping aside and making a good throw.
That's if you have,
when you're pressured.
When you're pressured, yeah.
That's if you have good pocket presence, but poor pocket presence can be feeling pressure and you just throw it up for grabs.
Or take a bunch of sacks.
He might be taking sacks because, and I think this or was his, you, I think the defense of him taking the sacks, and I could be wrong, I thought the defense of him was because he was so mobile. He was taking so-called sacks. Right?
That's one way to spin it.
I thought that was the defense of him. Because his pressure sack number was absurdly high. It was very high.
It was very concerning.
It was very high. So if you hang your hat on that, that's not a great one.
Hey, in a world where every mission is critical, where security and precision are paramount, one small business stands ready. OSI Federal, a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business, is your trusted partner in mission-critical IT solutions. With unparalleled expertise and unwavering commitment, OSI Federal understands the urgency of your IT needs. From cybersecurity to seamless integrations, visit osifederal.com today and discover why OSI Federal is the choice for federal government agencies and systems integrators alike. OSI Federal, empowering your mission with precision and excellence.